Cupid is a lying bastard!
Happy Valentine's from Gay Talk.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today's episode will feature a guest appearance by our good friend, dating coach, and author, Jess Brannis. She hosts the Drinks with Jess and the Dating Pool podcast. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we're doing something a little different. Jess Brannis, who, again, as I mentioned before, she runs the Drinks with Jess podcast and the Dating Pool podcast. She likes to incorporate videos and stuff into her thing. So she agreed to actually record via Skype our show while we're recording the entire episode from soup to nuts. And then when we come back...
Did you just say soup to nuts?
Yeah.
Hashtag, how old are you telling
me? I was just going to say you're
old
dating
enough.
Yourself.
Old enough.
Dating yourself.
So, we're going to see what this ends up being like. I mean, we've talked about the possibility of streaming live our shows on video, possibly on our Facebook page, which if you haven't checked out, you can go to @GayTalk20 on Facebook. And we've been playing around with the idea of doing something like that. So thank you, Jess, for recording our show. And we're going to review the show after we're done. We can say hello to all the listeners that eventually, if we release the video, would be able to see it and hopefully do something fun. So I want to kick off the show. As usual, I want to talk with my boys and see how their weekend went and all that good stuff. So I will start off with these two because they were together this weekend and had a good time. So
not proud of it.
Why don't you tell us, Christopher, how your weekend went?
I had a very nice weekend.
And why?
My boyfriend from Long Island came to spend some time with me.
Oh, the boyfriend.
Yes, Bobby came and hung out, mm-hmm. and we had a little bash on Saturday. Some of my friends from Windsor Locks and Mama, Liz, who's been on the show before.
Yes.
She's been super busy with nursing school. She was doing clinicals. I was told she washed her first penis. This weekend.
Are you serious?
I heard that too.
She washed her first penis. We'll keep it just at that because, you know, HIPAA and all that stuff.
Wait, hold on. Can you tell the part about what she said while she was washing this guy's penis?
Wait a minute. Wait.
He was like gagging?
He was like a Korean War veteran. And she was like, I forget exactly what she said, but she brought up Korea.
No, I know what she
said. Okay, then you say it, please.
So she's so sitting, she's telling us the story about washing this guy's penis. That was like, I'm like, so how's nursing school going? She's like, I washed my first penis. And I was like,
she was
okay.
Ecstatic about it.
And I was like, well, what do you say to somebody while you're washing their penis? And she's like, well, he has dementia, so I couldn't really, he can't really communicate, but he can hear everything you say. And actually, I kind of fucked it up. I was talking about the Olympics, and he's a Korean War veteran, and he, what I said was, did you hear about the Olympics? They opened up in Korea. And now this guy can't respond, but he understands everything you're saying. So she's like, oh.
That is such a Liz fucking thing to do. You're like, oh, I hear Korea's lovely. When were you there?
Lord have mercy. Just so that you are reminded, my dear Liz, there's two Koreas now, North and South. And the games are happening in South Korea, Pyeongchang, yeah, something like that. Anyway, I will cut you.
That did sound a little bit.
No. But the game started, the opening ceremonies occurred, a lot of things happened, but we're going to get into those. But I still want to hear about the weekend. So I finally got to meet this elusive Bobby.
He is a real person.
Yeah, he is.
He is a real person.
He actually exists now. So mm-hmm. it's an amazing thing. He was very nice. I really liked him. He's very personable. Had a really, really good aura about him.
He was super blown away when he found out that I was actually a man.
It was like the best part of the weekend.
I think the first thing I said to him was, oh, hi, I'm Nick, not transgender Nick. Because he thought I was transgendered, didn't he?
Correct.
Mm,
well, I can see why he's
Can you blame him, though? I mean, like...
No, I just have dual personalities. Trish is Trish and Nick is Nick.
Right.
Yeah, Trish is on the show, Nick is on the streets.
Exactly.
On the corners, like hookers. Yes, I know.
Trish is also in the sheets.
Oh wait,
too.
We're done with the roast of Trish.
I don't think so. We got to come back at her.
But you know what? But wait a minute. She is a horrible person to burn. She has like no personality during the burn. Sorry.
She was sitting back waiting for us to tear at her, and I was talking about it this week, and I'm like, I can't just openly be mean at you. You have to speak first. Like I just said, like you give me.
Why didn't you say that on the show?
I just want to love you, but then you ruin everything.
Like when I say things that, like when I try to pronounce words that I can't pronounce that are simple, like what was it? Some city.
Oh yeah. Tucson. Tuscan.
When I said Tuscan, yeah, like things like that.
Those words are difficulty. So
yeah,
I understand.
Totally
that.
Difficulty.
It happens to me all the time. But at least I have an excuse.
And what do you blame that on? The love potion?
Bilingual. My He's bilingual.
Oh.
My Guatemalanese.
My Guatemalanese.
I hit the lower of the chair button with my feet all the time, so I just dropped.
Oh, did you?
I had a segue in there, and no one called me out on that.
He dropped this weekend, all right. He dropped it like it was hot.
Yep.
Y'all were a mess this Saturday.
I'm allowed to be a mess every now and then on the weekend.
Yeah, I hadn't gone out on a Saturday in God knows how long.
Exactly.
It was horrendous.
And ever since Beachhead closed down, I'm just not like,
yeah.
I need like my local watering hole on a Saturday night.
And then to top it off, I was behind the bar, so I was working. And these bitches come in, and I'm just looking at them like, I wish I was on the other side of the bar having fun.
I'm not going to lie. When you just said you were behind the bar, the only thing I pictured was you behind the bar as Fred Flintstone. Like, it just, that image just shot into my head from Halloween.
That was my Halloween
That's
costume.
All I
yeah,
see you
that?
As now when I think of, like, behind the bar to see Fred.
Oh. Well, at least.
Better than Kung Fu Panda.
Exactly. Thank you.
Hashtag next
this
Halloween.
This bitch called
yes.
me. Wait, no, it was Dave
it was
who
Hartman,
called me.
Of
called
course.
Me Kung Fu Panda. Fuck her.
Yeah, everything Seriously. Was going great until Auschwitz last yeah. week. We were all... He's the fucking worst.
All right, so listen, let's move on because we've got...
I want to plug one thing before we move on.
Do it.
So on Saturday, before I went out, I had the opportunity to binge watch Queer Eye. There's a new Queer Eye on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it is absolutely amazing. I loved the first Queer Eye, obviously, because it represented... a demographic that we hadn't seen really in them, in, you know, on TV.
They were trendsetters.
Yeah. But these guys.
But you know what I loved about the original show is that it wasn't gay, like in your face. It was gay helping people and making people functional.
Right.
And it portrayed the LGBT community in a positive, helpful way, as opposed to like, you know, and not that I'm knocking, you know, what was that show that was recorded in Toronto, Canada? Queer as Folk. I'm not knocking the show, but you know, when you think about what Queer Eye for the straight guy was and what Queer as Folk were, there were two different shows that were showing real nitty gritty, like things that happen, because you know, we can't deny that those things do happen in the gay community, but it's not what I would say is a true representation of our community.
Right. I mean, what's great about, you know, Queer Eye for the straight guy was, it was like you finally got to see what the gay community actually does bring to the world in general. I keep saying, you know, art and color and all of this stuff. We bring so much beauty into the world. And the goal, like you said, is helping people. But what's great about this rendition of it, this revamp of it, they dropped Queer Eye. It's just Queer Eye. It's not Queer Eye for the straight guy. Most of the people on the show are straight men, but there is one episode with a gay man, and it was super, super powerful and super emotional. And I mean, you know me, I'm emotional anyway.
Because
like,
we need help too.
But it was intense, and it talked about his struggle coming out. It talked about, you know, why he was where he was because of his fear of coming out. And it was just such a beautiful thing. But what I love most about Queer Eye with these guys is the fact that it's not just face value that they're working on. They're working on the whole. So each guy, the Fab Five, they sit down with the person and they talk to them. And these people open up in a way that's super, I mean, like we say on the show, for some reason, people feel like a lot of times they can open up to gay men. And they open up in a way that's so beautiful, and they feel their emotions and why their life has stagnated or why they have found themselves in this situation. And not only are they changing their outward appearance, but inside they're growing. And this Queer Eye, it takes place in, I believe, Georgia. And so it's in the South. And so you have
that episode or the entire program?
The entire program.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is cool.
And so they are interacting with people that, in a lot of cases, have never had interactions with gay people before. And like I said, until you have a conversation, you can't educate somebody. You can't change somebody's mind. And there was one episode where they went in and they were working with somebody who was very religious. I mean, they had a huge family. Churchgoers, crazy. It was like Bible thumpers, you know what I mean? And this guy, just his whole perspective of homosexuality just changed, and he shared that with the guys, and all of the guys got emotional because that's part of it, you know what I mean? And I mean, there's just the arc of it. They at one point they get pulled over.
Oh yay.
At one point they get pulled over and the black guy of the Fab Five is driving, and you just see everything in him shut down. Like, he's scared, you know, because he's driving all of these gay guys in the South being pulled
in
over.
Georgia.
And then it turns out that the person pulling them over was a friend of the person they were going to, and then they escorted them. But that being said, that moment led to so many intense conversations about homosexuality and cops and the African American community and cops, and like, and it's just like these police officers that were part of this show grew from the conversation. I mean, like, I was blown away at the work that they were doing, because it wasn't just that face value, fun, crazy, like super, super flamboyant gay, I'm giving you a new look.
Oh,
it
so was Trish, like, is not on the show. She's mad.
Oh, no,
already.
Trish was definitely on the show. But it was visceral, and it was real, and it was beautiful. And it just, I think I cried almost every episode.
That's awesome.
Well, I think it's important that you brought this up, because the idea of the show Queer Eye always put a bad taste in my mouth, because it would just go with the whole stereotypical gay person, like, oh, I'm gay, I'm fabulous, I can make you beautiful. And I'm like, that doesn't represent me. And that's how they're representing the LGBT community. In my perspective, that's how I would think the show was geared to be. So I guess it's good that you're bringing that up, because if I'm a member of the LGBT community, I'm doing a gay podcast, and I have a view on a show like that is not going to be beneficial to helping other people or for portraying the LGBT community, other people are probably going to think that way as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that you are bringing this up.
But actually, we make you beautiful.
On Saturday night, I had a conversation with somebody, and they were like, you know, I can't stand Queer Eye, because it just throws this like idea and perception of, you know, the gay population out, and we're all, you know, flamboyant. We all know how to cook, or we all know how to. And I was like, but that's not what this show is about.
It's about visibility.
But, yeah. And these five are bringing such a positive light to the LGBT community. I'm literally. Everybody needs to watch it. I was flabbergasted by
this. So
these
that
guys.
Means you have to go to Netflix and binge watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Just in one sitting. Did you do it in one sitting?
I did not. I didn't.
She had to come over and drink sour beer.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I did.
Oh, is that why you got wasted?
No.
Okay. Nah. Oh, all right.
I mean, well, that was part of the reason.
Listen,
the building blocks.
As long as you guys don't get wasted and walk to the beach and try to swim, I think we're good.
That happened once, and it was Chris, not me.
I was going to say four times, but I'll take once.
I wasn't witness to it, so I don't know. All right, well, listen, before we move into our first scoop, let's play a little promo from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling, LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show. All right. Thank you so much, and welcome back. So we're going to jump into our stories, but before we do, We're not going to repeat what we did the last time, which we completely forgot to mention our cocktail in one of our episodes. So we're not going to do that today. So Christopher, why don't you tell us what we are having today?
And I already had a segue into this earlier, but it totally went over you guys' head.
Well, of course. Queer so, yes. Over here.
Well, today's cocktail, it's actually very delicious. I like this. We played around with it a little bit. Nick had some cool ideas. We're going with the Love Potion cocktail. It's a vodka-based cocktail. These ingredients.
Wait, can we go back just 1 second? What did you say? Nick had some what?
It's gone. It's gone. Probably wasn't anything important.
Hashtag I had some cool ideas.
One time.
So, I just got it.
Yeah, exactly. So this cocktail consists of, we're going with cups in this time. 1/3 cup vodka. That's a good amount of vodka right there.
Yeah.
1/3 cup vodka, 1/4 cup peach tree schnapps or peach liqueur, and 1 cup ruby red grapefruit juice. And to make this, you rim a glass with a bit of corn syrup or sugar if desired, and you set that aside, let that dry while you're building the cocktail.
Rim that glass.
That's right. Add into a cocktail shaker all the ingredients, pour in some ice, shake it up vigorously, and then top it off into your sugar-rimmed glasses and garnish with maraschino cherry or strawberries if you prefer. But what Nick took on today was we were using our Tito's vodka, like we usually do, jugs and jugs of Tito's. Peach tree schnapps, we're using the ruby red grapefruit juice, which is a sweeter grapefruit juice as opposed to the
regular grapefruit.
Anyway, we're using the ruby red grapefruit juice, and Nick got some cool grapefruit bitters. So
I have never had this before. It was actually really good.
Bitters change it up a lot. Like, bitters are really cool to experiment with. So I did about 3 dashes of grapefruit bitters, and then added the vodka, peach schnapps, the grapefruit juice, shook it up, and then topped that with club soda.
Yeah, and the reason why I thought, well, why not bitters, is because if you put lots of juice in a drink, it becomes a heavier drink. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of sugar in juice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a little bit of that juice away, add soda water, splash that grapefruit juice, and add the bitters, you're still getting the flavors, but it's just a little bit lighter and less sugar.
Right, and the bitters, the grapefruit bitters, it's a super concentrated bitter grapefruit flavor. So a small amount goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So 3 dashes gives it enough of the flavor, and bitters also help bring out flavors in cocktails or cooking or anything. So I think it was a great addition, Nick. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nicely I think done. That was the one nice thing he said that you did right today.
This year.
That's what he was referring
Thank
to.
Thank God it's the beginning of the year.
Exactly. Right? I got it out of the way early.
You've got many more weeks to go. All right. So let's jump into some stories. Before I jump into my main story, I just wanted to quickly congratulate the 44th president of the United States, who I miss dearly, our beloved President Barack Obama, and his wife, Michelle Obama. Their portraits were officially unveiled. The portraits are displayed in the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. I was reading an article, and I had an opportunity to look at the portraits, and actually they were amazingly stunning. They were different. They were nothing like any presidential or first lady portrait. She didn't look like Hillary Clinton, you know, like spazzed out and all.
Oh my God, don't get me wrong,
it's not negative, but she did look spazzed. She looked like she was on something when they did that portrait. But it looked absolutely gorgeous. It was very different. So the portrait of the president itself was adorned with flowers that have symbolic meaning. Basically, what they did was they took some greenery. They put the president on a chair, and they put some greenery. And they had flowers from, for example, Kenya, which is where his father was from. They had flowers in the background from Hawaii, which is where he was born. And they also had the city flower for the city of Chicago, which is where his presidential or his political career started. As far as Michelle goes, they put her in a very, very elegant position with a beautiful, gorgeous, very abstract dress. And the beauty about this is that both of these portraits were done by people of color. So this is an amazing thing to really take in because, you know, 20, 30 years from now, in one of her conversations, in one of her speeches, she said, you know, 20 or 30 years from now, you're going to go literally to this museum and young, specifically, you know, men and women of color, very young men and women of color are going to walk into this museum and see these portraits and say, wow, that looks like me. Mm-hmm. or I can be that, or, you know, I can see myself in this building as opposed to walking through an entire hall of nothing but, you know, white men and women. And
I miss them.
I do. I do. I absolutely miss them.
Oh, it was funny. I was watching something this morning, I think, about Scandal during the Obama administration.
It's coming to an end. I'm so sorry.
And versus the Trump administration. And there was this ridiculous, I don't know if you guys remember, at one point Obama wore a tan suit. And the media destroyed him. It was like, that is not presidential. Like, I cannot believe he wore a tan suit. And everybody was just going on and on and on. Every media outlet was covering it. And we're just like, that was the only thing they had to bash him about. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile,
you got
grab him by the pussy, Russia. Like,
or what about when he's going in... I don't think he was he in Puerto Rico or is he in Texas? He was in Texas, like, handing out Make America Great Again hats, and in Puerto Rico, throwing rolls of paper towels at people.
Like,
you know, like, here, eat these.
I mean, talk about a scandal-free administration. I mean, you know, there were things that weren't the best. Obviously, no presidential administration is going to be 100% amazing. You're always going to have your downfalls. But at the end of the day, his family and... in general, it was pretty much scandal-free, mm-hmm. which is amazing when you look at where we are now.
Listen, to be honest with you, I hold the entire 8 years that the Obama administration existed in our lives as a very, very good place for America. You know, I have said this many times over, you know, people have always said, oh, we've had our greats, we've had, you know... Theodore Roosevelt, we've had our, you know, George Washington's.
FDR was my favorite.
FDR, and, you know, you have all these other President Lincoln. And I, when Barack Obama was in his final 2 months, I said to myself, wow, this, for me, he will always be the Lincoln of my generation, you know?
I'm not sure Lincoln is the right.
But I mean, when you think about,
that's kind of a stretch. But okay.
Well, when
at
I
least
say
there's some integrity in that office.
Let me elaborate a little bit more on that. You know, there's a lot of reverence for President Lincoln because of a lot of the things that he did. Granted, there's a lot of reasons why he did what he did, and we understand that that occurred. But a lot of what he did allowed for the America of today. You know, with the proclamation. The emancipation, for example, those are things that set in motion things that would happen later that allowed for all Americans to be equal in the eyes of the law. And that in itself has a very special place in history. Mm-hmm. Whatever intentions he may or may not have had is not trumped by the fact that he still did it.
Well, that's because when you're a president, you're serving the people. You put your own personal intentions aside, and you're
serving the
people.
Unless you're Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Right. So, the sanctity of the presidency, that is what you're there to do.
When I think about, you know, what the Obamas did and their elegance and their etiquette and their amazing composure in public and how they raised their two beautiful young girls in the spotlight, you know, and how they dealt with issues and problems in the nation and how he worked so hard to bring the American people something that they could indeed use in their everyday lives. You know, healthcare. You know, he wanted to make sure that no matter who you were, you had healthcare. And whether
guaranteed as a right.
Whether or not, you know, you were forced to buy it, that's a completely different story. You know, the Affordable Care Act wasn't perfect, but his intentions were. And you don't see that in this current administration. You don't see anything other than someone serving self-purpose.
Well, and someone serving self-purpose and like putting demographics within the American communities down.
Of course. Not only that, I mean, he's putting down the Latinos, he's putting down the African-American culture.
There were cops that got on a bus the other day and demanded documentation from every single person on the bus. And if they weren't legal immigrants, they took them off the bus. Like, since when do you need legal documentation to get on a bus and go somewhere?
But you know, right, obviously, yes. But demographics are destiny. And with the amount of like pushback the Latino community has had, that's the most growing population in the United States. So they can take that back. The demographics are destiny. Always remember that. With the growing numbers, you're the ones who are going to be able to have the votes. You're the ones who are going to be able to have the say. So they're going to have their hard times, but they're going to overcome this. The Latino community is going to overcome this.
Oh, of course. You know, it's not only the Latino community, but it's very important for all these minority communities to come together, whether you are a person of color within the, you know, African-American community, Latinos, whether you're Asian. You know, all these minority groups need to come together, show up, come November, and put people in both of these chambers of government that will truly represent all of America, you know? And people can easily argue, well, isn't that what you have now? You have people in this House that are truly representing all Americans. I'm like, no, they're self-serving themselves, number one, because the only people that are getting rich are those that are in power. You know, all of the legislative issues or you know, things that they have passed so far have benefited nobody but corporations and people that are making money, whether you're in the industry of, you know, real estate, et cetera, which by coincidence happens to be most of Donald Trump's business. Mm-hmm. You know, this man is making millions, millions and millions of dollars on controversy, on saying stupid shit on Twitter. And he's doing it to make money.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we as a people allowed that to happen. You know? But anyway, that being said, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, we miss you. Thank you for your elegance, for your composure, for your hard work, for your dedication for 8 long years and even after, because he's doing a lot of good work to bring back, you know, common sense to America. But thank you. And that's all I got to say about that. So we're going to move on. The Olympics are currently happening. We had the opening ceremonies not too long ago. And it has been widely reported. Gaiety.co is one of the websites that posted a picture of Gus Kenworthy and Adam Rippon during the opening ceremonies. It is reported that in the middle of all this, Gus actually just reached over and went and gave Adam a kiss in one of the biggest stages in the world. Mm-hmm. Talk about putting the LGBT community on blast in a good way. It was absolutely, utterly amazing to see. I watched the video, and it's not a nasty kiss. It wasn't sexual.
It was a kiss on the cheek.
Right. It was a kiss on the cheek. It was just people showing each other love and appreciation for their sport and what they do and being in the moment and being able to just take it all in and say, you know what, we're here and we're both openly gay athletes representing the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And Mike Pence, you can eat your fucking heart out. That's exactly what Adam Rippon actually tweeted afterwards. But I will say that as well. Eat your fucking heart out, because you're a freaking bigot and you're a freaking, you know, homophobe. And then he tries to deny it all. And I'm like, really?
He tries to blame it on fake news.
There is a record of what you did in your state and what policies you supported. And you sit here and say that, you know, this is fake news? No.
Saying, we're here for you. We believe in you. We want you to do well. Directly to him. He actually retweeted him directly.
Oh, of course. And I'm proud of Adam, because you know what? Adam refused to meet with him. Adam refused to be in the same space with him. And you know what? That is to be commended. You know, he is really taking this moment, which he could have taken and done many different things with, and really shining the spotlight on the LGBT community and pushing back on this administration with whatever power he has.
I'm going to play something for you. It's 22 seconds long, so just listen real quick.
My shoulders carry more than my country's pride. They carry my community's pride, my family's pride.
Hi, Mom.
And pride in myself. Because shoulders are made for greatness, not dandruff.
Head and Shoulders commercial. That's all you need to know. But anyway.
I was like, wait, did he just say dandruff?
So that was Gus Kenworthy.
Uh-huh.
And he did a commercial for Head and Shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And the way he approached it was so beautiful. He said, I'm standing up for my community. But in that moment, in the video, he's holding a rainbow flag behind him. And it was like, holy shit, we have openly gay people at the Olympics standing up and being so loud and vocal right now. Mm-hmm. Both Gus and Adam need to be commended. They're doing such amazing work, and they probably don't even realize the extent of
the impact.
The impact and the extent of what they're doing, because not only are we seeing this, but people around the entire the United States are seeing this
and the globe.
And those people that like we always say are in like closeted Midwest kids are seeing that there is hope and that there are strong people that are willing to stand up for a good cause.
Absolutely.
And they don't have to listen to all the negativity they hear about our fucked up administration, because we have strong, powerful people that have a voice, and we have a voice, and they're just putting it out there. It's beautiful, and it just makes me super happy.
And it's so great that their message is getting out there, and people like Vladimir Putin's message is nowhere even allowed near the Olympics.
I know.
It just gives me such a smile.
But, you know,
so many people are clapping back. Like, many countries are clapping back at our administration right now at the Olympics, which is pretty great.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see. But you know what? What really makes me really proud is that we don't know what the stances are, for example, in South Korea, where the Olympics are being held, the Winter Olympics. We don't know what their record is with the LGBT community, and I Googled it very quickly, but there's so much.
It's still very family-oriented in Korea.
Yeah, so we don't know what it is, but I can tell you this much. These athletes are there under the umbrella of the International Olympic Committee. And so when they decide to do something like this and take a stance publicly, they're protected under that umbrella. So for them to go to a foreign country, which, quite frankly, I'm not sure where they stand as far as LGBT rights go, and, you know, display and be 100% genuine and who they are and be able to compete in their truth, it is absolutely beautiful to see, defying logic, because, you know, some of these Olympics have actually happened in countries in where the LGBT communities don't have rights. For example, Sochi had the last ones. That happened in Russia. Russia, as we know, you know, has a lot of anti-gay propaganda laws that would incarcerate people for even wearing a rainbow.
And the authorities wouldn't intervene either. But that's the beauty of the Olympics.
But they did. But weren't there countries that wore rainbow for that Olympics?
Yeah, I believe so.
In opening ceremonies.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Olympics. It's when you try to put all problems or issues you have aside. I mean, look at North and South Korea marching united together as one team. That's absolutely beautiful. And it's 2018, and 1924 was the first Winter Olympics. So we're 96 years after this was first put out there, and it's always a thing about togetherness. It's just about sport. You put all these hatreds aside, and let's just compete together in a beautiful sport-like manner. And that's what I find the most beautiful thing about the Olympics.
I've always loved the Olympics because of that very reason. These are more special because of the impact that these two individuals and their bravery are going to have on the LGBT community worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
The fact that they're going to be seeing this, I mean, this is going to be in their faces. It's going to be saying, oh my God, you know, that happened. I saw that in countries that sometimes wouldn't even get exposure because their media is controlled by state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, you can't control what the IOC puts out. You know, they sell you these licenses, and you literally have to broadcast the entire thing.
And imagine being someone who's closeted in Chechnya, where your president has gone out and said there are no LGBT people here. Imagine just seeing that beacon of hope. Like, no, I don't have to pretend. Well, I mean, you still unfortunately have to pretend there. But it's just to see people on this stage when you're shoveled down so deeply is incredibly hopeful.
Hashtag visibility. Yeah.
That's right, Trish.
All right. So let's cover one more story and then we'll go on break. And then we'll have Jess Brannis talk to us, because I know we're super excited. We are days away from St. Valentine's Day, and she is a dating coach. So we get to ask her some questions and get some recommendations for all you lovebirds out there for this Valentine's. So who would like to take the next story?
I think I'm going to keep the theme going.
Yeah, might as well.
Meanwhile, in Canada! Oh, that was so overdue. That felt so great.
Go for it, Chris.
Yes. So Canada's Eric Radford made history by being the first openly gay male Winter Olympian to compete at a Winter Games or Winter or Summer Games.
That's awesome.
Alongside Megan Duhamel, the pair came in second behind Evgenia Tarasova and Vladimir Morozov.
Of course he was going to try to say
I tried, but returned Sunday to take home a gold for Canada for free skate. Mm-hmm. This is Radford's second Olympic appearance, but his first since he came out back in 2015. So congratulations.
He ended up getting the gold. Who got the silver?
Adam. No, I don't know.
No, he got bronze.
Yeah, Adam Rippon got the bronze. And there's a photo of those two together, and it's adorable.
Oh, yeah, it's right here. It is adorable. Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm telling
absolutely.
You.
You heard that? It was like cursive and Sean Connery together. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's fantastic. No, but seriously, like, think of the impact. This man went out there. These amazing young athletes, LGBT athletes, went out there and brought a medal, whether that was gold, bronze, or silver. The visibility is there. The fact that they're standing on those podiums and people are looking at them like, wow, this is happening.
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, a person in the LGBTQ community getting a gold medal, whether you're from Canada or you're from America or a bronze medal, it's showing the world, and mainly it's showing the heterosexual world, that the gay community, the strength and dedication
and
that we have is so amazing. And for the longest time, people thought of the gay community as weak and they couldn't do sports and this and that, whether it's figure skating or not, that's beyond the point.
Which means
it's just we are just as strong and as talented as anybody else, and we need to be acknowledged on that stage, and we finally are.
Which means there's still hope for you, my dear Trish.
Oh no,
that you will be able to one day compete.
I'm trying to be
alcohol off the floor competition.
Okay, I'm trying to be empowering and say something great, and then here comes Tommy.
Sounds about right. There is something that does have to be pointed out. Believe her, I can't find it. Verst, I believe, was her last name of the Netherlands. She was the first bisexual skater. To bring home, she won 5 gold medals, and there are people standing holding a Dutch flag saying, "Sorry, Mr. President, the Netherlands first and second and third." So we have to point out for her. Yeah, so nice work for you as well. Congratulations for you.
Fantastic.
And the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll play some music for you, and when we come back, we have Jess Brannis.
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth, 'cause we need to be loved. So we thank you.
All right, welcome back from the break. That was We Need to Be Loved by the incredible Anthony Starbell. I love that song only because the message that we need to be loved is absolutely true. Anyway, welcome back from the break. With us on the line. She's on Skype with us. She is our Valentine's for all the boys here of Gay Talk 2.0 is the incredible.
Yes, queens.
Yes. The amazing
and
Jess
Prentice. She's my Valentine. Let's get that right.
She's mine too.
Actually, guys, I have to correct that because Nacho's my Valentine because he's a Valentine's Day baby.
Denied.
Oh. Is his birthday
Jess,
on Valentine?
Yeah, you know, that's this his was birthday. Really, he'll be
this,
free.
This was a really great conversation. We're going to end it right now. Nasty.
Well, Jess, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. How you doing?
We're doing amazing. It's amazing to have you back on because we do absolutely love you, and we love when you just, you know, make our day. You truly make our day every time you come on.
You guys are adorable. I love you guys.
Thank you. And thank you so much for agreeing to videotape this segment for us. And hopefully, if we like what we see, maybe someone or some people will get to see it.
You all know I won't like what we see.
Right. Yeah, no. She forgot to.
Please, she looked fine.
She forgot.
Fine
to,
is the key word.
She forgot to pound her face before.
With a lowercase F.
In Philadelphia, fine is really good.
With a PH.
Yes.
If it's any indication on how the riots went after your Super Bowl,
It was pretty calm. Believe it or not, I mean, everybody was having a good time
for the parade, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of riots, but, you know, the news always capitalizes on the few bad seeds.
Fake news.
That are out there.
Can I ask you a question? So there was a whole group of people standing on an awning, and it collapsed at a hotel.
Yeah.
Are they okay? Whatever happened with that?
I hope so. I haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming they're okay.
He's been so fixated on this one.
Seriously, I was
like, you know, you guys probably know this. If you drink too much and you fall, you don't feel it.
Until the next morning.
Trish is, yeah, we know
Why are
that.
You pointing at me?
Because.
I don't fall. That's not my job.
I was going to say, that's usually my job.
When did
gravity.
I fall?
You crawl. There's a difference. Sorry, I meant crawl.
I've only gotten to hang out with Chris and Trish.
Don't group us together like Chris. No, we are two very different people.
You guys were with me at the time, and neither one of you fell, I don't think.
I may have.
No, but Chris did take his top off.
I did.
He did, but I took my clothes off later, so
exactly.
That was fine.
Exactly.
It was equal.
So
we pissed off that stripper that
night.
Oh,
Lord have mercy. So Jess, Valentine's Day is around the corner, and as we all know, because we've had you on the show before, you're a dating coach. What is your take on Valentine's Day?
Well, first of all, I have to say I love Valentine's Day, but I hate it at the same time. I love the fact that people want to go out and celebrate. I'm going to celebrate with my dog because it's his birthday, so he's my lover's night. But the idea of Valentine's Day, I actually am not a fan of because this is a day that we set aside for commercial purposes to buy things, to treat people how we should treat them, kind of like Christmas, when we should be doing that all year round.
Absolutely.
To our romantic partners
or
people that we date. I think people put a high level of stress around Valentine's Day as far as if they're single, they all of a sudden feel like they need somebody or want somebody. And that's where my job comes in because I'm the first person to say, you don't need anybody. Like, it could be Valentine's Day every day of the year.
That should be.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So as a single person on Valentine's Day, what do you say? What do you recommend? Okay, what do you do? Are you with anyone right now?
I'm not going to disclose that information.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
I didn't know. I don't know, but I will ask. So if someone is single
complicated
on Valentine's Day, what do you do? What is acceptable?
There have been many times where I've been single on Valentine's Day. So I have had friends that have been single on Valentine's Day also. So we all make a night of it and go out. And there have been years where I've actually taken myself out on dates, which is kind of fun because then I can do whatever I want to do. You usually meet other people out who are also single. So it turns out to be a really good time.
And there's something really important to acknowledge, like self-love, because you can't really anyone else until you love yourself. Absolutely. So appreciating yourself like that is important.
That's awesome.
I remember one year when I used to live in Pittsburgh, and for Valentine's Day, two of my best friends who were my dance partners at the time, I was a dancer, the three of us got together. I made a nice dinner at the house. I had candles lit. I had rose petals on the table. They dressed up. I had a sharp tux on. And we had a great dinner. We went out dancing all night. And it was probably one of the best Valentine's days that I've ever had. And there's what people forget when they're single, if they're hanging out with friends or even going out by themselves, there's no pressure. You know, a lot of people, it's kind of like I equate it to New Year's Eve. People have this pressure that they're supposed to have a good time. They're supposed to party it up. And half the time, New Year's Eve doesn't even end up being that fun filled. Same thing with Valentine's Day. You know, you could put that pressure on and go out on a date or go out with somebody else or your significant other. Somebody could get sick. Things can happen where it doesn't end up being such a romantic night. So you have to kind of keep everything into perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because as we all know, I love Dan Savage, and he has this idea.
I thought you loved me.
I love you too. I mean, of course I love you, but I love Dan Savage as well.
She's a mess. All over the place.
God, why is everybody attacking me? Anyway, so he has this the concept of
super busy.
Fuck first. And I think it's actually like really, really smart. So he always says fuck first because on Valentine's Day or any special occasion, you're going to go out, you're going to have cocktails, you're going to eat, you're going to, you know, afterwards, you're going to get home, you're either going to be a little tipsy or you're going to feel full or you're not going to feel sexy. But like, if you fuck before you go out, then you're going to have a great night because you've gotten that out of the way. Uh-huh. And it was hopefully amazing for you. And now you can go enjoy the rest of your evening and celebrate your love for one another.
And it makes sense, though. Because if you're bottom, you don't want to sit there and like stuff yourself and then go and
regardless if you're bottom or top. I mean, at that point, you know, you already did the dirty work. You don't have to have a salad. You can go for the beef Wellington. Like, you can go at it. You can go at it.
Yeah. Are you speaking from experience, Christopher?
And hopefully if you do a good job, the other person's going to spend a lot of money. But I totally agree with Dan, and I agree with you bringing this up, Nick, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting ready at the same time, having great sex, and then going out and enjoying your night, because then your emotions, your joy, everything is already out there. You feel great. Now, the only downside is you decide to just stay at home because you're too exhausted, but at the same time, that's not such a bad thing.
Nope.
No,
Uber Eats.
I feel like that would happen in your situation because I feel like
in
Jess,
my situation.
Well, in your life, because I feel like Jess in bed is probably like just like
a huge calorie burner.
Yeah, I mean, like
I'm a little raw. I'm animalistic.
Nick is looking to be exhausted, and I think that you would fit the bill. I keep telling him, you know,
my situation fits the bill just fine.
I think that she would be able to put something on and really do a number on you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't lose energy very easily.
Yeah. See?
I'm popping an Adderall halfway through.
I know, right? Exactly.
But it's one of those things that's just, it's something that I just enjoy so much. I mean, I could keep you there for days.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
damn, girl.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about Valentine's Day specifically right now because obviously it's impending. But I also think it's important to talk about dating today in general. So when we think about dating today, it's way different than dating, let's just say, even 5 to 10 years ago. Because now we're dating off of social media apps.
Oh, yeah.
And like you've got Scruff, you've got Her, you've got Tinder, you've got all of these apps.
Grindr.
You have what is it? Hornet. You have
Manhunt.
There's just so many, right?
Oh my God, who goes to Manhunt?
I don't
anymore?
Know. I was just thinking of other ones we didn't say.
I don't think Manhunt exists anymore, Chris.
Actually, it does. I was on there the other day.
Oh. She's nasty.
And a lot of people are using these apps as hookup apps. However, there are some hopeless romantics out there that are like, maybe I'll find that person. And there have been people on Grindr that have found that person. Tinder's a different story. Okay? I was like, I met my Bobby, we get it.
I met my boyfriend on Tinder.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just swipe left.
And we're just, we'll see where that goes, you know? We're not putting stakes in the ground yet.
Don't be nasty.
Anyway, I just wanted to get your perspective. Like, we're coming into Valentine's Day. It's that day that everybody goes out on that date with their significant other, or they go on a first date or whatever. What do you think about dating on these apps nowadays?
Well, you know, I think people have to be very careful, and I've gotten to write several articles about online dating, catfishing, a whole bunch of shit that's out there. You know, internet is supposed to be a good tool, but we can also use it for harmful things. So for younger generations, I mean, they're so used to social media. That's how they interact. In fact, I don't even know if they could even go out on a date at this point because they wouldn't know how to interact on a personal face-to-face level.
It's incredibly.
But for those of us, it's ridiculous. But that's where the humanoids are going to come in because that's all they're going to be able to do. but if you take, you know, people in their mid to late 20s, 30s, 40s and above, you know, the dating apps really are to just see what's out there and meet certain people. People cannot necessarily be honest on those sites. You know, everybody wants to tell a story. Everybody wants to make themselves look good. It's like that's the first impression, but you have to be able to deliver it. I am not a dating app person. I'm not. I'm not a fan of social media when it comes to dating. I like going out, having a good time where I love to go, meeting somebody there face to face for the first time and let it go from there. But that's, I'm old school. And now we're in a situation where, you know, as we were saying before the show aired, there's the Me Too movement. So flirting is a different situation. Bringing up sex is a different situation. Because everybody has to be careful because you never know what's going to bite you in the ass. I'm sure I could have been in jail several times with some of my behavior. But
me too.
I applaud the people who are coming out with that, but it does change some of the rules of dating. Back in the day, without social media, it was so much easier and there were also less choices. It wasn't as difficult to get a divorce. It wasn't as difficult to choose a partner because you learned as you were growing up the type of people that you would want to interact with.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to raise a family, you were looking for somebody who not only that you loved, but would be good to your kids. You know, I mean, my parents said that a long time ago to me. So now the times have changed. They've changed a lot. But as far as social apps for Valentine's Day, if you're looking for a quick hookup, you're looking for a date, you're going to find that person, but don't expect them to be the person that you start dating.
Right.
Most likely you're going to meet other people who feel the need to have somebody on Valentine's Day and they'll grasp on very quickly and it'll be over and done, whether it's that night or in a couple of months, but that's not most likely the person that you're going to end up with.
You know,
can I confess something to you guys?
No.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Something nice.
Fine. Okay.
I have never been on a Valentine's Day in my life.
Well, then you just saved yourself a lot of money.
Ever.
You're an asshole.
Tom, you should have told me. I would have come up and taken you out.
No, but I will say this. I was.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone. I thought Jess was going to be my Valentine, then Nacho was her Valentine. Now she's asking Tom out. We got to end this call.
It's a pity ask because I've never been on a Valentine's Day before. I was in a committed relationship for 7 years. Well, committed on my part. But we never really took days like that because like you said, you know, for us, Valentine should be every day. We
right.
did things exactly. for each other every day, you know, during the healthy years of our relationship. We did things for each other every day. And so we never felt the need. Valentine's Day, we were home cooking. We got to get ready for work tomorrow. You know, it's like one gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the other one gets up at 9. And yeah, it was a completely different thing. So no, I've never been on a date.
I went on one.
It's like, seriously, it's like Christmas. Like during the holiday season, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Catholic or Muslim, this is the time where we all, you know, wish people well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're all nice to each other. that's supposed to be every day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we talk about Valentine's Day, I want everybody out there to know, treat people in your life, all the special people, whether they're friends, whether they're romantic, whether they're your family, whether they're your pet, you just coworkers, just treat them like that every day. Yep. And you won't feel that sense of lack if you are single on Valentine's mm-hmm. Day.
There's something really special. Oh, sorry.
Were no, you no, say no, no.
There, I feel like there's something really special that I've never really thought about. So Valentine's Day is about love, right? It's about about loving the person you're with and going out and spending that time with them. But what I didn't think about, what you just made me realize, is what we need to, especially today, we need to look at Valentine's Day is love in general and loving everyone and supporting everyone and spreading love to everyone and not just one individual person, which we should be doing every day.
That's
absolutely
very hard to do in a Trump America. Oh.
But it's not. And you know what? I'm gonna reach out to you guys, by the way, to take a photo at some point within the next like week or so, because as you guys would probably know, I would hope you know, and I'm surprised I didn't know until the other day, that you know, we have Pride Month in October in the United States and in Canada. Well, February is Pride Month in the UK. So I'm going to put up a photo with a rainbow somewhere on my body. And I'm going to have you guys do the same. And we're going to put out our well wishes to the UK and happy Valentine's Day and happy LGBT History Month for them.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stray away from Valentine's Day for a second.
Wait, ours is in October?
June.
Technically, yeah. LGBT History Month is October.
History Month.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I want to stray away from Valentine's Day for a second. So I read an article the other day, and I feel like you can speak to this. So I read an article about porn.
Mm. Love it.
Of course you did.
And how porn is actually destroying sex in the younger generation, because porn sets the stage for this perfect, amazing, beautiful sexual experience, whether it's like you're getting pounded or you're getting tied up or you're having a love and so all of these people are seeing this
fantasies,
these not necessarily fantasies, but the perfect situation, right?
And the fake reactions
and the fake reactions. And now they're going into situations and they're trying to have sex with one another. Right. And it's just like blah, or they're forcing something, some weird situation on it that they wouldn't be forcing on it.
Who screwed you over?
No,
that's a very good point, because I can actually personally, I understand that personally, because when I would experience porn, it would put a lot of pressure on me when it came to being with someone. Like what am I expected to do? Like, am I actually pleasing them, or are they just going to be acting it like they are in porn? So that I understand completely. I think porn can have a very negative impact on individuals.
I think there's both positive and negative.
Absolutely.
But,
yes.
But like, I just, how do we speak to the younger generation or everybody in general so that they know moving into their Valentine's night or whatever night it is, hopefully every night or every other night or whatever, twice a day. How do we speak to that? How as a dating coach would you speak to them about their fear of sexual intimacy, seeing the perfection of some porns that they've seen?
Well, I think for the older generation, porn is a lot different as far as our minds. We're mature. We've grown up. We've already experienced things. We know that it's staged. For younger generations that, again, are just filled with video and film and audio, they really do have to learn that this is not something that is reality. You know, again, it's a film. It's not like it's right here live. Even the people who put porn on sites and they say it's live, it's not live. It's still staged. So, you know, I don't want them to be disappointed. I never want somebody to be disappointed with their sex life, but they have to look at it as, what should I do, or how can I get somebody excited? Because sex for guys out there, for girls out there, it actually doesn't matter. Sex starts in the mind. So guys are very visual. girls are very, they're filled with imagery in their heads, you know, so that has to be able to match up. And porn is not going to do that anyway, shape or form. You're not going to see that aspect. And as much as I hate, I wouldn't say hate, but I dislike the, for example, because the new one's coming out, the 50 Shades segments. A lot of it is actually extremely enticing because of how it's played out. And that's something that you can play out in your mind. I would say my biggest thing is to try and take what you see, because you never see a backstory. What do you see? Like back in our day, it was a pizza guy delivering pizza and girls bring him into the house.
I know. Yeah.
Or boys.
That doesn't happen most of the time. I've had some weird things happen to me, but that doesn't happen most of the time. So you have to think about how you envision your sexual encounter and allow that to become a part of your personality in general. You know, when I'm out, and it doesn't matter where I am, I'm just a very sexual person because I'm very self-confident. So the first thing I would say is gain your confidence. Don't look at the porn to try and show you for you to mimic what they do, because you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's something too. I think when we watch porn, we have to be subjective. And when we find ourselves in a situation where we may or may not have sex, we need to acknowledge what we like, right? And think about it. But strip all of that other bullshit away, because no matter what you think the situation is going to be, especially your first encounter, it may be great, it may be awkward. You just need to be in the moment with the person or persons that you're with.
Right. And I would say use it as a learning tool on maybe how to move and how to do certain things if this is one of your first encounters. I could say that because a lot of people have no idea.
I'll tell you a little story, right? About 4 years ago, I was seeing this guy, and he was very hot, and he obviously thought the same of me, and we were constantly talking about things that we would like to do to each other, and, you know, sort of kind of working ourselves up.
Yeah, you're putting that in your mind.
To that point, eventually, that we would get there. Literally, we would go out to dinner. We probably spend the better half of almost 2 months just literally running around and talking about, oh, when I get you, I'm just going to destroy you and blah, whatnot. And he was a power bottom. And he said, when you hit me up, you're going to have to hit me hard. I mean, I want it all. I want everything. It was like really graphic. And like, and we had this imagery of how things were going to happen. And then we got in the bed and I couldn't get it up.
Really?
It was
turned out she was a chick.
It was seriously, you know, he wanted me to just like pillage him, and I'm like, and I had it in my mind, yeah, I'm gonna do this. This is gonna
you
be
got
great.
Psyched out. You got psyched out.
And nothing. And then he just looked at me and I looked at him and he goes, this is our first time, and I think that we've been talking about it for so long that we at this point we just like, whoa. Now we're here. Are we really going to do this? Mm-hmm. And you know what?
That's exactly
what it was.
I can understand where you're coming from on that. Like, I've had situations where it was like back and forth teasing and imagery, but when it came to the point, I still delivered.
She's like, but, yeah, but I was awesome.
No, but I will tell you this.
But seriously, but I'm one of those people who, if I have a fantasy in my head, I'm going to make sure it happens. Provided that the other person is still down with that. And I tend to pick at times my partners who bring out a certain aspect in me because it's that aspect in them too that I'm attracted to. So I know it's going to be a good time.
Right.
Well, I'm very careful on that. It depends what I want at the time.
I can tell you that we went back for round two and said, okay, do we want to try this again? I said, I know I do. And he goes, and I do. I said, okay, so we're going to try it again. And I will tell you, I excelled in every possible way. It was seriously.
I got a gold star.
I got a couple of goddamn gold stars. Man, that man was walking deliciously good for a while.
What I find interesting is that you actually talked about it and you said, okay, are we going to try this again?
I
don't talk about it. I just do it.
That had never happened to me.
I feel like Julia Roberts saying I'm a machine, you know, and Pretty Woman.
Yes. No, but it happened. And let me tell you, it was amazing sex. And then after that, forget it. You couldn't stop us. And then unfortunately, he moved away. He went to Florida. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of that.
But it is. I mean, I think because, I mean, we know what porn is supposed to be there to do for us. Like, I don't like to watch porn. I get no gratification watching it. But for me, because I'm an auditory person, it's hearing the sounds of it that it's like, okay, if I can get somebody to make that particular sound with what I'm doing, then I'm probably doing well. You know, yeah. So I used it as a tool for me, and that was my goal.
That's amazing. Thank you. Because now I'm going to, like, I got to go do something now.
Oh, God.
Gross.
Ew.
Gross. No, I know, and I'm really disappointed in myself because I wanted to throw a Jeb Bush joke in there when you're talking about he moved to Florida, and I lost my chance, and it's over now. And we will revisit that another episode.
So interesting enough.
Put the astroglide
show's
away.
Show's over.
Oh, God. It's
show's
out.
Over. Good night, guys.
I know. I was going to say, do you see how much is in there? Mm-hmm.
So, interesting enough, Chris is recently in a new relationship.
Uh-huh.
It's probably been a couple months now. What, 3-4 months now?
Going on 2.
So, 2 months. Okay.
Jesus.
So he's in a new relationship, and it's not, you know, they're not a year in, 2 years in. How do you celebrate an appropriate Valentine's Day with a new partner? What do you think you should do? All out, lavish, something small? I mean, what is appropriate when you're in a new relationship?
Have you been listening? Do it every day.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and answer that one. This is something really haven't talked about too much, just because you brought it up without me talking about this.
Well, go for it.
Push me under that struggle bus.
Uh-huh.
You know, when it comes to us, we don't see each other all the time. So we make every day that we're with each other special. So I don't look to Wednesday as any day of more importance than any other day. I really don't. Everywhere just charges more. It is a Hallmark holiday, in my opinion. It has nothing to do with St. Valentine anymore. It's just buy hearts, buy chocolates, buy gold jewelry, heart-shaped jewelry. I don't find anything significant about it. When we are with each other, we make sure that we make every day special.
Aww,
that's cute.
We need more Christophers in the world.
I hate Valentine's Day. That's just my opinion, but I'm
negative. No, seriously, after 2 months, I mean, it's not like they're your partner in crime. You're still getting to know each other. Quite frankly, if Valentine's Day was that important, the day after would kind of be like New Year's Day, where you didn't have to go to work. You know what I mean?
Right?
Like, because if you're celebrate
exhausted.
Valentine's Day on a Wednesday, first of all, half the people are going to be spent because they've been at work all day. Then you have to go out. Then you'll hopefully be up all night. Who's going to want to go to work the next day? It's like it's an inconvenient time to have it.
They should do like what they do with certain holidays that they observe. Make sure that it always falls on a Monday.
I was gonna say, yeah,
and then make it a national holiday, like
yeah,
a real
like
one.
The Super Bowl, the day after Super Bowl, should have been a national holiday.
That's the most called out work day ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
it's so interesting how holidays can become inconvenient by the day they fall on. You know, when it's on a Friday, God bless the world. This is the greatest thing ever. You throw it on a Monday.
Well, shit.
But you know what You know what I'm hearing from all of this is I think like
we're bitter queens.
No, we
no,
are yes.
not even close.
Chris is too young to be a bitter queen yet, but we are bitter queens.
Speak for yourself.
I'm older than all of you.
But I think what I'm hearing from Jess and from the guys is that Valentine's Day is not necessarily about, you know, the date or the evening. Valentine's Day is just a moment for everybody to realize we need to show love.
You know what I think should happen? I mean, obviously, if you have a significant other and you love that person, yeah, go out and buy them some flowers and a small token of appreciation, whether it's extra special or not, and say, you know, babe, happy Valentine's Day. It is a day that we're celebrating love, etc. And I love you. You are my partner, etc. So I will go out and make it a point to do something out of the ordinary. But then don't forget about every other day of the year.
Right. It's not like, you know? Check, got that out of the way, I'm done for the year.
You know, but as far as it being about, oh, we're going to have to go to the movies, and I'm going to have to take her out to dinner, then I'm going to have to take him or her out and get chocolates.
Stressful.
And it's right. People will go out and spend $500 and $600. Mm-mm. For nothing.
No.
You know, one rose can have just as much as an impact as a dozen.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I see Valentine's Day always for me was, you know, I would buy my elementary school teacher candy of the shit quality. Like that was always what, and I want to be a teacher one day. So I want to get 20 boxes of shit quality candy from a kid one day. Like
and
that's
the little,
what
the little
is.
Cards were the cutest though.
Says you don't want to be a teacher.
I know. All teachers tell me that.
No, but the little cards are like were the cutest in school.
They are,
you
exactly.
You know, when you see the little cards and mommy
but
would
you know,
out.
I was that's reading. What I always think of. I read every night before I go to bed, and I was reading a book by Wayne Dyer, and it actually had something that was striking for Valentine's Day, because it was a story about a little kid, and his mom was so worried, I guess, that he wasn't liked, he was a little bit different, and he spent all this time for days making Valentine's cards for everybody in his class, and she was so worried that he wasn't going to get any back, you know, and he was so worried that he was going to miss somebody. So by the time he came home, you know, from the day, he had like one Valentine in his hand, and she felt so bad for him. And he came into the house and she was like ready to like well up in tears because people didn't give him love. And he was so excited that he didn't forget anybody.
So he,
because
he,
it's about, yeah, it's about giving the love. Right. It's not about what you get back.
Exactly.
It's the same with Christmas and Thanksgiving. Always showing love, worrying about showing love and care for other people rather than receiving.
Yes.
This young man went in it with the right heart in mind, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to give people. I want to make sure that people around me are feeling special and feeling acknowledged and loved.
And giving doesn't have to be financial either.
Absolutely.
Giving can be anything, emotional, anything. You just have to share yourself with somebody, and that is giving in itself.
And mm-hmm. I know like a lot of people in the younger generation, they, you know, kind of probably like we were when we were younger, we wanted to wow somebody. We wanted to get them something great. We wanted to take them someplace great because we thought that that would ensure their love for us. So for people out there who think that if you go over the top, it's going to make somebody love you more, it's not.
It's for me.
So unless it's for Nick or Trish, but like seriously, like people go to crazy lengths when if you look at your past, how many people have you already gone through?
And
you
did
know what
this
I mean?
Over so, and over.
Right. I mean, my
and
parents have been
again.
Married for almost 50 years.
Bless them.
So and at this point, they give each other cards that they gave each other last year because they're already signed.
That is smart.
Back, wait.
You know?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
The fact that they still remember it's Valentine's Day is like a blessing, you know?
That's awesome.
So, that's so funny. When they go at their envelopes, opening them like a banshee, she's like, honey, take it easy. I got to send that back next year. That's so great. I love that.
No, but it's true because it's not about going out and buying stuff. It's just about recognizing, hey, this is the day and I still know that you are the person that's important to me. And that it's as simple as that.
It can be so simple as putting on a movie that they love to watch, wearing a shirt that they bought you that means a lot that you put on, like the little
making
things like
their
that.
Favorite dish.
Exactly.
You know,
like you don't have to go out and spend $200 on a prefixed menu.
Yep.
You don't need to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And for straight men, maybe just make the bed.
You know, do something. Flush the toilet.
God,
like
put your clothes in the goddamn hamper.
Drive your kids to school so your wife doesn't have to do it.
Don't have skid marks on your underwear. Is that much to ask?
That was the top of my list.
It's like, seriously, do I want to pick up your underwear with skid marks on it and wash them for you?
No, because they're going in the trash.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hello.
Where Trish belongs.
Yeah, it really can be a lot simpler. I think people put too much pressure on themselves.
So, all right. So, we should move on. So on that note, Jess, thank you for bringing
us
some enlightenment on this upcoming Valentine's Day holiday that we have upon us. I think it's Wednesday, right?
It is Wednesday, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, but Jess is not going anywhere. She's going to stick with us because we've got a couple of things that we want to cover. And then we've got two things that we also want to mention and then we wrap up. So Jess, don't go anywhere because you're with us for the rest of the
all
show.
Right. Sounds good to me, guys.
So I know that Nick did not get a chance to talk about one of his stories during the first half. So we'll let you take a story and then we'll move into the rest of the show.
All right. Sounds great.
All right.
So this story, of course, comes to you from
unicornbooty.com.
Yes.
That does come from Hornet, right?
Yes, it does.
So it really does.
It really does. It's coming from unicornbooty.com. So Alex Gardner did a piece on February 7th. So they've started a campaign, hashtag decriminalize LGBT. So this campaign is for everyone to be aware internationally, because we can't keep focusing just nationally on what's going on in the world. And where there are so many, where there are countries where it's still illegal to be gay, and there are countries where you can be killed, there are countries where you can be jailed, and at this point we still have 70 international countries that being homosexual is illegal. So 8 of these states are death states, so you can be put to death in 8 of these states. There are 12 states where you can get up to 15 years of life, 23 where it's 8 to 14 years, 20 states where it's 3 to 7.
And Jamaica's one of them.
And 10 states where you can have 1 month to 2 years of imprisonment. And this movement is so crazy and important. And I don't know why we haven't done this before. Like, we need to bring visibility in our social media outlets to this issue. And that's why they created hashtag decriminalize LGBT, because that in itself, a hashtag, because it's grouping all of these things together, can bring visibility to a huge issue. And again, 70 countries internationally where it's illegal to be gay or engage in gay activities in any sense of the word. So there is a website that you can go to. It's actually kind of funny. It's www.thunderclap.it.
Yes.
/projects.
So,
but you can get this on unicornbooty.com.
Mm-hmm.
But this movement is just so important and so beautiful. I mean, we talk about it all the time, all the issues going on internationally and how we want to continue to bring light to it. And with something like this, everyone can help.
Well, you know what I think, what I think we should do here on the show, I mean, I can certainly commit to it, is anytime I post something on social media, whether that would be Facebook or even Twitter, I'm going to use that hashtag and say decriminalize LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know what, that will not only get everyday conversations being posted under that umbrella, but it would also bring awareness to the hashtag and hopefully get it going and get people motivated to use it and to advocate for such an amazing endeavor.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, like, in Indonesia...
Indonesia.
Thank you. Indonesia. The police have publicly beaten and humiliated the LGBT people. In Egypt... people continue to get harassed and arrested for being gay men. And then, of course, Chechnya.
And you know what the ugly irony in this picture is right here for in Egypt? Look at this. That's one Egyptian motherfucker who looks like Ted Cruz rounding up gay people. Does anyone else see that? It was the first thing I did. I was like, Ted, what are you doing out there, you son of a bitch?
Oh my God, he does look like Ted Cruz.
But so there's this one paragraph that I want to read to everybody from this article. So decriminalize LGBT must be brought front and center as an issue. It's not enough to ask public officials if they support LGBT rights. We must also ask them what they are actively doing to dismantle anti-LGBT laws. It's not enough for a government or organization to say it supports LGBT rights if it does business with countries that criminalize LGBT people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, what's the sanctions on those places?
Yeah, and so this is a broader thing. It's not just about the countries. It's about within your own country where it may be legal. If there is something that, if there is a company, if there is a government official, if your government is doing business with these nations, hashtag decriminalize LGBT.
Absolutely.
You know what would be amazing right about now? That list of companies the anti-LGBT companies.
I have the list saved on my other laptop. I'm not quite done with work because I've been a little busy at the moment.
Okay. I'm just saying.
But even going with that, one of those places to keep in mind when you're looking now in the winter months, you know, we're eventually going to be approaching the end of wintertime, but when you're looking for places to travel, remember Bermuda.
Uh-huh.
We had discussed Bermuda a couple episodes back. The country passed the Domestic Partnership Act on Friday, December 8th, 2017, which would end same-sex marriage.
They had actually already passed it.
December.
They were the first nation.
But it did not go into effect until February 7th, last Wednesday. It went into effect, and Bermuda has officially become the first nation. The archipelago is the first nation to repeal marriage equality.
Yeah,
in the world.
This is insane, though. And I mean, Jess, chime in whenever you want to. We want to hear your perspective.
Sure.
But like, this is what we're talking about with America right now. We have gained so much. And yes, there are institutions within our country that are supposedly strong and will uphold their decisions, hoping for the Supreme Court. But we don't know, especially with this administration.
You never know.
And the fact that it has been repealed is scary.
That can happen anywhere.
Our fight.
I just feel that this is a time where we all around the world have to say enough with government telling us who we can love and who we can marry, and being ashamed of their constituents. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the Republican Party, I mean, there are many in the Republican Party that boast that they are anti-LGBT, but at the same time, you have LGBT supporters out there. I mean, how can you want them to vote for you, yet you're not going to give them your gift of rights? I think it's time where, you know, I know a long time ago, marriage became an institution. First, it was a religious institution, then it became a governmental institution. It shouldn't be an institution at all at this point, as far as who you want to spend your life with.
But the important thing is that as history has shown us, and I'm studying history right now, it's so super boring.
I know, you're so tired.
History has shown us that, you know,
history repeats itself.
Not only does it repeat itself, but we have to be able to evolve with the times. You know, we've done this historically since the first civilizations, and where things come along, you know, first there was, you know, people believed in many gods, and then monotheism came around, and then all of a sudden it was all about one god. It's like humanity has always had the ability and the gift to evolve. And this thing.
But homosexuality has been around forever.
Yes, absolutely.
Since the beginning of time.
And I'm going to go with that as well. I'm majoring in history and liberal arts and sciences right now. But again, like I mentioned earlier, demographic is destiny. And as the years progress, marriage is being taken away from a religious definition more and more as the year goes on, and being more of just on a piece of paper.
I believe that we'll get there eventually, because again, the process of evolution needs to take its course. But, you know, it's like when you're there and you're in despair and you want to be acknowledged and you want to be validated by the government that proclaims that they protect your rights, it is so disparaging and so
and protect you as an individual.
Yes, and it's so damaging to yourself, you know, to the self of who you are, to the core of your person. And I think that, you know what, it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to fight back and clap back, even if society or even if our civilization has not gotten to the point where it will be acceptable, or you know, we haven't moved fast enough.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. You made something pop in my head. Like, government, the military, what it stands for in every country is to protect the country and the country's people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge demographic in these 70 countries, in our country, in every country that is not protected, and they're fighting within their country. And I'm super, like, blown away by the fact that a country wouldn't want to embrace its own people. And that's what is happening around the world right now. There are some countries that are embracing, but like literally not embracing their own people. Justin Trudeau cried when he made his apology to the LGBT community of Canada. Mm-hmm. And that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Not even his apology. Mm-hmm. It was an apology on behalf of the Canadian nation.
And it just, it's crazy that now we have Trump in power with fucking asshole Pence and we're attacked again. Mm. Betsy DeVos is going after the transgender students. It's like, we are people. We are Americans. Your job is to protect us. We elected you. You were put into power
to do the will of the people.
Oh, wait, let's hesitate on that and go backwards.
I didn't elect you. Some people elected you.
Right.
But that being said,
I will always call him Mr. Trump. And you know what? Like, as far as LGBT
rights, president.
Exactly. But as long as he's there, first of all, he was not there to protect us because he doesn't have the ability to protect us.
Correct.
He doesn't. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't a lawyer. He was never in this realm. He's not in the military. His kids were not in the military. He has absolutely no sense what it takes to protect somebody. He comes from a point of, if you throw enough money at it, it'll fix the problem.
It's mm-hmm. either that or just claim you have bone spurs and then you can't do anything.
Exactly.
Which, all those together are the exact reason why you have to call him President Trump. You have to remind people in the world what was allowed to happen.
Oh, no, they know.
Oh, no, I can't utter
he
that.
He will always be hashtag not my president.
You know, it's interesting, Chris. I do agree with what you say. You know, you have to call him President Trump because it makes people realize what the country did.
He is the president of the United States of America.
But for the first time since I've been alive and since, from what I heard, my parents, America's divide is greater than ever. And there are people that literally have just stood up against every single bit of shit he puts out there. Mm-hmm. They really don't support him. So in that sense, he really isn't a lot of people's president because he's not standing up for those people. Yeah. And if they
Representing you as the president,
right.
But he is still the president of the United States of America.
He may be the, but he's not mine.
So exactly.
You may feel however you feel. No one will ever take that away from me. In my history, for as long as I live, 45 never happened.
But it did.
No, and it's
in
true.
In American history,
it happened.
Until
the books come out on that one.
In
Jesus
Tommy's
Christ.
History, 45 never happened.
I'm
going to completely just ignore the fact that he ever even existed.
It's funny that you say that because that's not the case at all with you, Tommy. You beyond don't ignore it. You throw it in people's face constantly.
But why do I do that?
Because
people need to know what they did.
Exactly, and that's what Chris is saying.
And that's fine, but they can know what he did without me having to acknowledge that man will ever in any way, shape, or form be my president.
I think it's an unpowerful way to look at it, but...
It is my powerful way to look at it.
It
is my
of
way
you.
Of saying to him, fuck you, go fuck yourself, I hope that your penis falls off, I hope that your fucking nose falls off, I hope that you fall off.
I agree with both of you. I get where you're both coming from, but you're both coming from the same exact place.
Except he's not my president.
And that's fine. And no, he's not Chris's president. Chris
He's the president of the United States.
So Chris is acknowledging that he's the president.
The commander in
chief.
But
he is not Chris's president because Chris does not support him.
I don't support him at all.
The difference is
but I'd rather
you don't
want to
put that the title on it, but you feel the same way he does.
Right, but I'd rather go at it head on. And go at you know
oh, I can
insult
go, I can
the things
go at
that
it.
He the mistakes that he makes day to day.
I can go on
as
on
president
with it
of the United
head
States.
On
oh my God!
Having to acknowledge the fact
everything
that he will
always
ever be
comes
my president.
Back to that asshole.
Yeah, of course.
Remember
anyway.
Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day.
Spread love, unless you're spreading love to Trump and his administration.
I was
love
say,
you, bye.
Someone send Melania love because she ain't getting much of it lately.
Well, poor Melania.
Well, I mean, like, what happened to her campaign about anti-bullying on social media?
Are you kidding me? She's probably getting battered right now, and poor man, you know.
That's what she wanted to take on. Michelle wanted to do youth fitness.
Yeah, obesity.
Yeah, I know, but Melania, of all people, wanted to do social media bullying. I'm like, Have you met the guy that you married?
And all he does is go at people online.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, listen, it's been lovely. Hashtag whatever it is, whether it's Valentine's, not my president, maybe the president of the United States, whatever the hell he wants to call himself or think that he is or venerate himself on. Anyway, I think we should move on because we're going a little long and we've got two more things that we need to cover and we've got Jess with us. So why don't we jump into our gay talk term?
Oh, we already want to jump right into that?
Yeah, or do you, well, I mean...
Yeah, I guess. Let's do it.
Yeah, we should.
All right, so before we do that, though, should we say, Jess, do you have anything else you want to add to the conversation before we close out the show? Because that's where we're going. We're about to close out the show.
Well, what would you like me to add?
I don't know. Anything that we just talked about. Is there anything that you want to say or give anybody?
No, I still want everybody to have a really wonderful Valentine's Day. I don't want people to be stressed if they are with somebody and trying to... you know, impress them, or being single, Valentine's Day is just like any other day. It's not that stressful of a moment to get through. I mean, for Christ's sake, we all have to probably work on Valentine's Day, and I'm gonna have to spread love to all of my coworkers, you know, in a more appropriate manner than what I used to. So that's pretty much where it rolls. But for everybody out there, I just hope everybody goes out and at least greets everybody. Look people in the eye, say hello. You know, if somebody says happy Valentine's Day, wish them one back. It's not like any other holiday. Yeah.
Focus on the love.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's really amazing too.
You're talking about Trump.
Like when you smile at one person, that one smile, whether you know them or not,
opens doors.
They smile back at you, hopefully, maybe not, but that'll change the course of their day.
So, I actually had somebody stop me on the street one day, and I was walking Nacho, and I was passing her. She was getting into her car, and I smiled, and I said hello, and I just kept walking. And she said, hey, and I turned around. She said, you have no idea the type of day I had. That made my day. So you're right. You That's never know Perfect. How it's going to affect somebody. Mm-hmm.
That smile in the world smiles back, exactly. Except for like half of the world. But
as I always say,
keep smiling.
Love is love is love is love.
Mm-hmm. That's in the right context, absolutely.
All right. So this week's Gay Talk term brought to you, of course, by unicornbooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, it is. Is head date.
Head date.
Mm-hmm. Head date.
What is head date?
Head date is performing fellatio in order to avoid anal bombardment.
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 Uh-huh.
Sucking to avoid.
Okay, to avoid what?
Anal sex.
Like after dinner on Valentine's Day?
Exactly.
You don't want to sit there and...
Or if you're super tired, or if you haven't had a chance to clean out.
Or just super busy.
She's or super busy.
Super busy. You got a psych paper to write.
She speaks from experience.
Lock yourself down, honey.
That's a good one.
A mouth can do wonders.
Oh, of course. Well,
yuck.
Truth. All right. So on this day in gay history, Mr. Christopher?
Yes, on this day in gay history... Brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
We're going to forget that lick of cursive right there. On this day in gay history, in California, 2014, Gavin Newsom makes the order to the city and county of San Francisco, despite the lack of legal recognition by the state of California or the United States, to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Del Martin and Phyllis Lyons are issued a marriage license on this day. So
this is actually what kicked off the whole discussion about getting marriage equality in California. And then eventually in 2008 with Prop 8, the reversal of that, and then the fight back, and then the Supreme Court. And that's how we got marriage equality. It was because of this.
A long uphill battle, but it paid off in the end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So we've got some announcements. If you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways to ensure that the show becomes more visible within our podcasting community. You can subscribe to our show. By doing so, you can get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device, web browser, as soon as the episode is published. You can rate and review our show. You can do so on any device, whether that's an iPhone, Android. If you've got a laptop, all you have to do is just find wherever our show is playing and just hit like, rate, review.
Just read what you wrote.
I don't want to. Mind your business.
He said what we're all thinking.
And you can support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support our show and our endeavors to bring you the great show that we do week after week. So, Christopher?
I'm waiting for you to be like iPhone, Android, rotary phone, whatever you got going
right?
on.
Right? Well, no, we don't do rotary phones anymore.
So next week, we're bringing you It's All About the Dish. You get a full episode of top stories and headlines of the week.
That's right.
It's going to be the three of us just going at it.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those episodes in a while.
I know. I just keep booking people. I slowed the roll.
No, that's okay. But I love when I have a full episode with my boys.
And we can really like get in depth.
And it's
the
President's
stories.
Day, so I wonder what we'll be talking about. All right, everybody. So thank you to our guest co-host Jess Brannis for joining us on the show today and also recording us, which we weren't expecting, which is pretty cool.
Not at all.
Her show, Drinks with Jess, and the Dating Pool podcast are available on iTunes and Mixcloud. And this is Jess Brannis' opportunity to plug herself.
Do it, girl.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? Talking about Valentine's Day, if anybody out there is out of a relationship or single and needing that extra boost of confidence, you can check out my first best-selling book, Seeking Her, Knowing You, on Amazon.com. If you're just dating somebody, you can get 0 to 90, which is my second best-selling book on Amazon.com. And of course, like the guy said, you can check me out on Drinks with Jess on Mixcloud, iTunes, and now YouTube as well for the younger generation who likes to be visual or yes. for people who like my smile. And Dating Pool podcast, we're actually revamping that. It hasn't been out in a while because we decided to get to the public and see what they're actually looking for. So we're revamping the show to make sure that it highlights them more than we did the first year. So you always got to make some changes. And for all the other information, you guys can hit me up on dwjphl.com. All my social media is there. You would see the guys' faces there. And I will make sure, guys, that I put links to this show on my website as well.
Awesome.
Excellent.
All right. Well,
can we put a rubber on this?
Let's put a rubber on this.
Yes. Love you guys.
Well overdue.
Love
we
too.
Love you, Jess.
Don't
thank
go
you,
anywhere.
Dear. As always, guys, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under Show and Episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Big surprise. Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0. Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0. Twitter, at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
She's such a social media whore. All right. Do you want me to read this? Should I?
Yeah.
All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast. I saw that.
Ah, damn it,
you can
I
submit
tried
a
so
question
hard to get up.
For an individual host, or you can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer that question for you on the show. If you need the phone number, that is 334-429-8255 or just 429-GAY-TALK. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Once again, thank you to our co-host Jess for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.